Abba Father, we are so grateful that you have guarded this technology that we are able to get together, at least on this line. We're thankful that you have provided the call and that there are people who are hearing it, that we are listening to what the Ruach is saying to us as we are being called back to the ancient path. We ask that you would use this time here today as a further understanding, not only for those of us on the call, but for anyone that might listen to the tape as we determine if we will put that on our website. We are thankful for these opportunities to make your message known far and wide, but we also know that the evil one interferes in every way possible. So we ask for your covering and your protection during this time. We ask you to command your angels concerning us in each of the different states and locations that we're in. And please, Abba, bring anyone else that you want to bring in and allow your purposes to be accomplished here today. We yield to you, Yahweh Elohim, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and no other God. It is in the name of our Messiah, Yeshua, that we ask these things. Amen and amen.
Amen.
So, our discussion today is to be about the go through the gates, verses Isaiah 62, verse 10. Go through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, clear it of stones, lift up an ensign over the peoples. And that one would be the New Revised Standard translation of it. Did you have a chance to read the commentary I made about how we got started talking about this?
Yeah, you know, it was interesting because Barry and Bacha were here in Houston, and they were helping a two-house group get off the ground, and she was working with that pastor. He played the piano, and she was working on the lyrics for that song when she was here.
Oh my!
And it just kind of hit me when I read your thing, because it's just like such a small world we live in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have events that come across our life, and we don't even understand what they're about.
Exactly.
But that little group, along with another book that I read, was the beginning of my walk into understanding about Ephraim and Judah.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe at the time that she got the, because they were working a lot with this one group here, you know, to me those gates have got to be the old ways, and I don't think any of us have a real grasp on the real old ways yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's much
and
to
here revealed. Is Houston, Texas, just for Adrian.
Yes, and this little group is up in Porter, and they're still a thriving community.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go into any other details, but they've gone off a little different direction than MIA, but still, you know, we've got many groups out there that believe many different things. But the bottom line is, there's that stirring of knowledge about Ephraim and Judah that Yahweh is just pouring out over all of his children and his people.
Mm-hmm.
And
I do notice, you know, we do use Barry and Bacha Siegel's song, Go Through the Gates, and in fact we've been using it more and more often lately because we do understand it as part of our mission, so to speak, and preparing the way for the people and building up the highway, clearing it of all the rubble that's in the way. And that's what got us started focusing on this. And I read it differently, having come into Torah, than I did before. So would you like to take a minute, if everybody has other personal observations like Jan, and then I would like to just give you the Strong's definitions for the main words of the verse. So any other comments?
I'm thinking that mine might be appropriate a little bit later on, so I'll wait just a few minutes.
Okay.
And see how the conversation goes.
Okay.
This is Adrian. I'll go.
Right. Thanks, Adrian.
I think go through the gates, prepare the way for the people would be Israel. Build up the highway, to me, would be to restore the road back, the ancient paths.
Uh-huh.
Through the gates of Zion, of course. Remove the stones, remove the stones. That would be, he heathen obstacles is one way to put it. Stumbling blocks. Lift up a banner for the nations, possibly lifting up a banner, a standard, Ephraim, Israel. I don't know.
That's a good summation.
That seems so obvious. There's probably a lot of depth into this verse, I think.
Well, you know, that's kind of where we got started, because in the way, you know, when we're singing that song, it's always a joyful kind of a commissioning feel, I think. You know,
right.
When we pray, go through the gates, prepare the way for the people. And yet, as I started looking at it, I wondered, are we putting our interpretation on it because that's what our impression is, or is that really what is intended?
Right.
I'm just getting my screen a little bit wider here so I can read. Okay.
What is that option where we can see your desktop?
Well, that option I could give you, except that our telephone line is down, and so I can't get that computer up today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
But I was really looking forward to trying that, so thank you for asking. I didn't know how many people would be able to be on the phone and watching the screen at the same time.
Okay.
I thought that would be nice. So instead, we'll just have to do it verbally.
Okay.
Apparently, a major trunk line is down, but that telephone line was put in many years ago, and this one was put in recently. So as Jan said, from her knowledge, it's probably a different arrangement, and we're glad.
Barbara, would you give me the scripture again in Isaiah?
Isaiah 62:10.
Thank you.
Okay. The go through comes from Strong's 56:74. Abar or Eber. It's a primitive root to cross over. It's used very widely of any transition. I thought that was really a key thing. Any transition, literal or figurative. Tell me if I go too fast. It can mean to make go over, to convey over, to order, and to deliver. And there are more, but I kind of tried to summarize. So if you look in your Strongs, you'll see a few more.
What was that number again?
5674. It's the same root that the word Hebrew comes from, meaning to cross over. And here's my questionable part that I've been doing some additional searching on. Haven't been able to find it in Brown Driver Briggs or the Theological Word Study or Vine so far. There's also an additional meaning to proclaim, perish, or provoke to anger.
What was the second word you said? Perish?
Perish. P-E-R-I-S-H. As in to die. Or provoke to anger. And we'll come back to discuss more there. I'll just give you the main points so you can have them in front of you. The gates is Strong's 8179. Sha'ar, an opening, door or gate, city or port. And my observation is it's plural in the song, and there's no indication of capitalization. So it's not capital G gates, it's just gates.
That was 81, what was it?
79.
Okay.
And prepare is Strong 6437. 6437. Pana, a primitive root meaning to turn, by implication to face. I know we hate dead time, but here it is. I'll have to give you a little time to write. For example, appear or look. Appear at eventide. And they have even in brackets, and then a hyphen to tide. Appear at eventide, or evening. be a it would be a military naval type term. To behold, to cast out, to come on. There's also a question of a corner and dawning. So I get the impression of going around the corner. Empty. Go away. Lie, L-I-E. Look. Mark. Pass away. And then they did what you're not supposed to do, prepare, using the word to define the word, regard, and have respect. Are we all clear?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the way, Strong's 1870, direct. Closely related to 1869. Meaning to tread, or by implication to walk. A road as trodden. Do we ever use that word anymore? Trodden, T-R-O-D-D-E-N. And used figuratively for a course of life or a mode of action. So that's Strong's 1870 and 1869, direct.
I'm looking them up in this Englishman's Hebrew Concordance.
Uh-huh.
Hebrew gave this to me. It's interesting, in 1869, the trodden thing.
Englishman's Concordance, you said it is?
Yeah.
I'm adding it to my list, yeah?
It's by Wigram. I think it's a really old, you know.
Might actually be better.
Well, he doesn't give you the meanings as much as he gives you the Hebrew word and the Strong's word, and then he highlights in the sentence where that Hebrew word means the same thing. And under that same group where he's talking about trodden, it also, he has bent.
I'm sorry, what was that?
He has, in italics, he has bent like a...
Bent,
he has bent his bow.
Okay.
So, there's something about the bending there.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
good.
So I thought I'd throw that in there.
Thank you. The next one is a little bit of interest for me. In the song, they say, prepare the way for the people. In the King James Version of the Scripture, it's of the people. And I haven't been able to locate yet whether that is a significant thing or not. So I'm just leaving that open. The people is Strong's 5971. A people as a congregated unit. A people as a congregated unit. Specifically, a tribe as those of Israel. Troops or attendants. Specifically, a tribe as those of Israel, troops or attendants. And figuratively, a flock. Folk, men, nation, people. Almost sounds like goy.
Yeah.
And gear. So that's the people, Strong 5971, a people as a congregated unit, specifically a tribe, as those of Israel, troops or attendants, figuratively a flock, folk, men, nation, and people. In the King James, it says cast up instead of build up. Strong's 55:49. And this one I had trouble making out. I'm not sure if the print was different or my eyes were tired. Kalal, C-A-L-A-L, I think.
Mm-hmm. That's a praise word.
Uh-huh. A primitive root, meaning to mound up. Especially a turnpike. Figuratively, to exalt. Figuratively, to exalt. And reflex, to oppose, as by a dam. So you're casting up a dam to hold back the water, to oppose the water. And they, here again, they use cast up to define cast up. Exalt, extol, ik plain, P-L-A-I-N-E, to make something plain, and to raise up. This really would have been faster with the screen share, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but I don't. Sometimes you can overlook things too.
That's true.
If you're listening and you're thinking at the same time.
Okay, are we caught up on cast up? Everybody okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Highway, Strong's 45:46. Macilla, M-A-C-I-L-L-A-H. I just noted that it's not the same as the way above. Literal or figurative, specifically a viaduct, a staircase, causeway, a course, C-O-U-R-S-E, highway, path, and terrace. So highway is Strong 4546, Macilla, M-A-C-I-L-L-A-H, and it's not the same as the way that we defined earlier. Literal or figurative, specifically a viaduct, a staircase, a causeway, course, highway, path, or terrace. We're getting there, about halfway. The next term is gather out. Strong's 56:19. Saqual, I believe. C-A-Q-U-A-L is the transliteration. C-A-Q-U-A-L. Strong's 56:19. Again, it's another primitive root, meaning to be weighty, W-E-I-G-H-T-Y, but used only in the sense of lapidation, or its contrary, as if dilapidated. So lapidation to build up and dilapidating to fall down. Case, C-A-S-E, gather out and throw. That should be it. Strong's 56:19, gather out, saqual, C-A-Q-U-A-L, to be weighty, but used only in the sense of lapidation or its contrary, dilapidation. Case, gather out and throw.
They use it in the same context as David throwing the stones.
Aha. Okay, and that's the English ones again?
Yeah. And he cast stones as David at David. Or I guess it was, anyway, but it's that same context.
As David casting stones at Goliath, or?
No, I evidently. And he cast stones at David.
Okay.
So.
That would be Saul. No.
Yeah. Sorry, wrong reference. I read it wrong.
Okay. And stones is strong 4480/68. M-I-N, min. So this is not a huge boulder. This is a part of, from or out of. And then it says, from or out of in many senses as follows, colon. When you're that far, everybody give me a heads up.
What was that number again? I lost it. Sorry.
4480/68.
Okay. 40.
Adrian, Shirley?
Yeah.
You okay?
Yeah.
Okay. A part of, from or out of in many senses as follows, colon. Here's what comes after that. Above, after, among, at, because of, by reason of, from among, in, neither, N-E-I-T-H-E-R, nor, out of, over, since, S-I-N-C-E, this just all I thought was interesting, through, T-H-R-O-U-G-H, whether, W-H-E-T-H-E-R, and with. Stones, 4480/68, min. A part of, from, or out of in many senses as follows. Above, after, among, at, because of, by reason of, from among, in, neither, nor, out of, over, since, then, through, whether, and with. And lift up, strong 7311. Room, I think. R-U-W-M. Transliteration. To be high. H-I-G-H. To rise or raise. Jan, I hope you have something in there on this one, because this one, I called Frank Houts on this because he's so good at this stuff, and there were a couple that he couldn't answer for me either. To rise or raise in various applications, literal or figurative. To bring up, exalt, mm-hmm. Extol, hold up, levy, L-E-V-Y, lift, lofty, promote, proud, set up, and the one we can't figure out at the very end, in Strong's it says breed worms.
Ah. Okay. This one.
Yeah. Read, I have it in red because I've got question marks after it, and Frank was just as puzzled as I was, unfortunately. And we've not been able to find it in, as I said, either the theological word study or Brown Driver Briggs. So I'm still looking for more on that. What does breed worms have to do with lift up, strong 7311, room?
You know, it's interesting. I wonder if that was a mistranslation, because there's two references here to brought up children, bring up, and the other one was bring up virgins, so it's almost breed. I don't see anything like that here.
Yeah.
Instead of worms, maybe it meant breeding women.
Yeah, uh-huh. Say the mistranslated words too.
Oh, breeding women, maybe?
That's what I don't know.
But yeah, Frank looked at it. He looked at it in his Strong's. He said, "Yep, that's what it says. Breed worms." So, and I figured, you know, Frank is one of my better resources here.
Did you look it up in the Briggs Driver?
Yes, couldn't find anything.
See, I don't know. If I don't find it in Briggs Driver, I usually throw it out.
So I, like I said, I just have it in red here. I don't know if there's any significance to that or not. Okay, moving on to standard.
Barb.
Yes.
Adrian here. Did you, after listing the word lofty, did you also say loud, mount up, and offer up?
No, I didn't. I was kind of editing a little bit.
Okay.
I said promote, proud, and set up.
Okay, then. Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Those were a couple more in there?
Yeah, but there's a lot in there, so that's okay.
I know. That's why I kind of tried to pull a few that would give the picture.
Right.
But you're looking at Strong's, too. Good job.
Yeah.
I'm going to look at my new American one and do it.
Okay. And standard is Strong's 5251. Neck, or NEC, N-E-C.
5251.
A flag, a sail, S-A-I-L. By implication, a flag staff. General, a signal. Figuratively, a token. A banner, a sail, an ensign, a standard. Not sure why they use the word to define the word. That just doesn't help. Ensign, E-N-S-I-G-N. That's Strong's 5251 from 5264. Standard. And the final is people, which is Strong's 5971 om, the same as above.
And 5264 means to be high or conspicuous.
Aha. Thank you.
Did you have distinguishing mark or a warning?
No.
Okay, I'm using the new American Standard Exhaustive Concordance, and they list those two extras.
They list them as warning?
They list them as 5251. Distinguishing mark and warning are also listed there.
Under standard?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. So we have it all kind of in front of us now.
Okay.
So my next question is it more than just coming to faith in Messiah to go through the gate? Open for discussion. Is it more than just coming to faith to go through the gates? Not that I want to minimize the importance of coming to faith.
Well, you know, Yeshua himself says, if you love me, you shall keep my commandments. And I think so much of the years of teaching that I had in the church, that was made light of in the way that they you know, just say that all you need to do is come into a belief system. You know, it made light of the fact that he was the living Torah, and there were ways there that we needed to learn. And that one just keeps playing over and over in my heart. Every time I question something, that scripture comes back to mind. If you love me, you will keep my commandments.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's just coming to belief in him. I mean, if we really go back and study all the scriptures, you know, he was constantly at battle with the Pharisees over the tradition and the mindsets and strongholds they had inserted into the Torah.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of where I think it is.
Okay. Anyone else?
Well, I have a little... it's different. It's not to negate what you said, because I totally agree with that. It's another viewpoint on this, if you will.
That's what we're looking for.
Okay. I wouldn't have thought this way a month ago before we were out on the road and exposed to what we were exposed to, but now as you were going through all the Strong's numbers for this, I believe the Ruach just put in my heart and mind another interpretation. And so if you don't mind me taking a few minutes, I'll
please.
Share. We spent quite a bit of time with Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage International Ministries, and he brought out the fact that there were 14 years between when Ishmael, the false promise, was born to when Isaac, the true promise, was born. And equating that with present time, you had the Oslo Peace Accords in 1993, which people now, you know, are looking at as the Ishmael. Uh-huh. And it's been 14 years until they're having this Annapolis conference coming up in a month or so,
right,
to make a PLO state separate from Israel, a two-state solution. And all over the internet, you find now that the Jewish people who've settled in the West Bank are, if that happens, are planning on seceding and making their own state.
Yeah.
And in this
existence, excuse me, Shirley, you said planning on seceding.
Yeah, seceding.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
From Israel and becoming their own state, and on the internet they have it titled as the country of Judea, but Eddie's thought is that Zion, that's the promise, that's the Isaac, and when that happens, you know, they'll be pounced upon by everybody, that no one will stand for that, the United Nations, the Arabs, everyone. And Eddie believes that that will pretty much enter our last 3.5 years, our time of tribulation. And during that time, Yahweh is going to call Israel home. It will begin the greater exodus, the greater exodus that we won't even recall the Red Sea exodus. This one will be so great.
Yeah.
And go through the gates, that's get up, leave your home, go through, begin your march. And I was so taken by the highway where you said it was a causeway. For those of us living in the United States, there is the need of a causeway over those oceans to get us back to Israel. And the standard over the peoples, the standard is a reflection of what happened back in Exodus when after the people began to be organized, after the initial rush to get out of Egypt, the tribes were divided up and a standard was raised over each tribe. And those mixed multitude, the heir of Roth that came out with the children of Israel, were assimilated into these different tribes. And we as the called back ones, you know, the lost tribes, the Israels, I believe that Yahweh is going to raise up a standard over us so we'll know which gate to go through. Because the New Jerusalem come down out of heaven only has 12 gates. You're not going to go in a Shirley gate or a Barbara gate. You're going to have to go in a Levi or a Judah or an Issachar or you know, one of the 12 tribes. And I think in this exodus that we're going back, Yahweh is going to make that known. He's going to raise up that standard over us. So, and especially as you read the whole chapter, all of chapter 62, he says, for Zion's sake I will not keep silent, and for Yerushalayim's sake I will not keep quiet. And that is the area that is in contest. That's the area that's settled by other than a secular state. As we look at the state of Israel, it's a secular state. But we see the people who are settling in the West Bank, the people who are taking back those lands, they are very committed to their faith. And two of the stories that we told this summer continue a day in the life of Yeshua, but they're about the story of Jairus and his daughter who is dying and the woman with the issue of blood. And these, as we were writing these, and I was feeling this, but Eddie confirmed it after he heard the second one. The woman with the issue of blood had been outcast for 12 years because she was unclean. She was no longer able to associate with the family. She was basically lost to the family. And the daughter, who was 12 years old and was dying and died, she was in the family. And if we look at the woman with the issue of blood as Israel, and the daughter as Yehuda, here you have Yeshua, who gets up immediately and goes with Jairus back to his house, but along the way is met with the woman with the issue of blood, and he restores her. And the way the storyline took, she joins the procession onto to Jairus' house, and the woman, the girl, is restored. So Judah died, and Israel was coming along, restored, brought into the house with a raised up Yehuda, the two sticks, the two houses becoming one, being reunited, being joined again. And I just see that in this text, that this is a prophetic calling us to, this is what we're doing. We are going to Exodus where we're at. We're going to go through the gates, begin the journey, go over the causeway, have a standard, be reunited in the land, come back, be clean, be Israel joined to Yehuda. That's what it spoke to me as you were going over it.
Oh, that's wonderful. And what makes you think that's different? Because to me, that's exactly right on.
Yep.
Well, in different, I meant different from the talk of it being the walk of faith, which it is. It's another interpretation.
Exactly. And that's what's so fun, you know, about it is the depth, isn't it? I mean, if you take it just literally, like walking through the gates physically, we can understand that. But there's so much more. And it sounds like I'm in agreement with Eddie, too, from what you're saying.
Well, but I thought that they, as far as the Gaza Strip goes, the Israeli government threw all the Jews out of there.
It's not the Gaza, it's the West Bank, Judea and Samaria.
Yeah, Gaza's already...
Oh, okay, I'm sorry, I'm confused.
Yeah, and I was hearing talk of that a couple of years ago, and they were talking of calling it the State of Zion.
Well... I got to do when I was in Israel, I got to do a tour up there to one of those Sumerian settlements, and they're one of the ones that are right in the mix of this battle. Their parents were the ones that had gone back there and set up a tent community, were establishing that settlement there in Samaria, and during the war in 1948, they sent all the children into Jerusalem to keep them safe, and every one of those parents were slaughtered by the Arabs.
Yeah.
When those children grew up to be 20, now these were Jews from Holland, and when those children grew up and got to the age of around 21, 22, they started feeling the pull to go back to their home, and they started talking to each other, and pretty soon they came together and they said, it's time to go back and restore what our parents started, and you should see it, it's a gorgeous community.
Mm-hmm.
And they had been buying up land from the Arabs around them. I mean, they had been building up that whole area. And I know when I heard that the Samaria, I thought of those immediately, and I talked to some friends over there, and they said, no, they're going to fight. They're not going to let this happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're definitely going to fight this time.
And, you know, there's in Obadiah, it also talks about Ephraim being in the Negev, and them beating, becoming a mighty army and doing battle with the sons of, I think it's the sons of Esau, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Well, Edom is
Edom, yeah.
Destruction, too.
And they and they defeat them.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that we have these folks like Ronan and Melanie who understand Ephraim and Judah and are rebuilding up the Negev.
Isn't it exciting?
It is exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like scripture coming to life.
Yeah, surely you put it in words so beautifully, and I'm sure Eddie took much longer to say it.
You know Eddie. he's very thorough and concise. So I appreciate all his hard work.
Oh yeah, exactly, because he documents line by line, word by word.
Yes, indeed.
But that you're right, the prophetic understanding I think is that. And for me, I was told, I don't know, it must be 5 or 6 years ago now, I'm of the house of Joseph. And I've not ever known whether it's Manasseh or Ephraim, but that's okay. That part will become clear as I need it to be clear. And I do think that's happening, although I'm just feeling prompted to say at a conference a few years ago, Janelle Schrader and I were there, and there was someone at the marketplace who was offering to read people's palms to tell them what tribe they were from.
Ooh.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
How interesting.
Exactly. That was also someone who was teaching something called White Torah.
Oh, my goodness.
Another form of Kabbalah.
Yeah, was teaching, you know, the meaning of the white spaces between the runes or the marks of the letters. And we let the conference organizers know about this. Janelle came and told me, and we went and let the organizers know, and they went and talked to the person, and pretty much the eyebrows went off the top of the head, and that table was clear by the end of the day.
Wow.
So we're very glad for that, because, you know, this sort of thing, understanding it prophetically, I think sometimes people get desperate and they want to do anything to
right.
learn in a divination way, like Saul putting all the mediums out and then quick, go find me one now that Samuel's gone.
Don't you think that's why some of the manifestations are hitting the church right now, because they're feeling that call of Yahweh and they want this is a nation of instant answers. You know, no one wants to dig or learn. They want an instant answer.
Mm-hmm.
So some of these supposed, you know, manifestations of the end times, well, it says, you know, the deception will be so great that even the elect might be deceived.
Good morning. Somebody joined us?
It's Lori.
Good morning. Glad to have you here.
Hey, I figured out how to get on. It's real tough, huh?
Well, Jan, I would like to respond to what you just said about the manifestations going on, and I can't put my finger on the scripture right at this moment, but it says where people claiming to be prophets will mm-hmm. come and they'll do signs and wonders, and these things will come to pass, but if they do not walk in the commandments of Yahweh, they're false. Don't listen to them. Don't follow them. You have nothing to fear from them. And I'm thinking that what we're going to see are a lot of people claiming to be prophets, being, you know, giving words and signs and wonders and miraculous things, following them and these things coming to pass. But if we do not see that they are walking in the commandments of Yahweh, we better not go after them. We better not follow them, because Yahweh says he's sending them as a test.
We see a lot of it here
and
in Houston. I've seen a lot of it. And that, see, I've always been a questioner. And when I saw a supposed wonder, Yahweh opened up a door for me to work at an administrative level, to help out with office work in this particular ministry. I'm not going to mention names because judgment's up to him. But the personal life didn't match what I was seeing.
Yeah.
And that's when I began, and that's really and truly, I do believe, because I was so hungry to know the truth, that I don't believe if we're earnestly seeking him, we're going to be deceived. We may get misled for a while, but he will get us on the path
uh-huh.
to truth. Okay? And it didn't take me long to start saying, okay, what's wrong with this picture? If this person has this kind of power in the spirit, then why isn't their life full of righteousness? Because their life was full of a lot of ick.
Well, now here again, since we've been walking in Torah, we would understand that statement a little bit differently, right?
Mm-hmm.
People without the Hebraic focus would say walking in righteousness means just living a good life, essentially.
No.
Yeah? I mean, wouldn't they?
Well, I'm looking at scripture that says how you treat others if you really love Yahweh,
mm-hmm.
and you follow Yeshua, and yet I see the way that she took advantage of people in her ministry and didn't pay them, and, you know, her rudeness, her crudeness, her many other things that just didn't line up with scripture. And
I'm agreeing with you.
Okay.
I'm just saying that the people in that before, if we thought about righteousness, that's what we would be talking about, is what our sort of, I don't know, vague definition of it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And then people, and this is a dilemma that I have.
See, this is
because I think that people do also need to demonstrate some maturity in their life before I will receive them as a teacher.
That's how I feel. And I guess that's what's put me at odds with so many people in the church, because they think that's, you know, you're judging that person. No, I said, because the word also tells us you judge someone's, you judge them by their fruit. I want to see their fruit in their life. If I see the fruit of the Spirit in their life, and they're walking in love and truth and righteousness, that's going to be very apparent.
And it also means that there may be a lot of challenge and a lot of stuff swirling around the people, too. Because it doesn't mean that somebody's life is always necessarily going to be perfect, does it?
No, I'm not saying that.
Okay, just clarifying.
Right, no, I'm not saying that.
Thank you.
What I would be seeing is that even if there were those challenges, that person would be forever constantly working to, you know, work out their salvation, so to speak. I don't know how to put it in words, but...
That's exactly right.
I think that's the best way to put it. They'd be working on their salvation. I mean, they'd be placing themselves in authority to others and to, you know, the word I'm thinking of, where you put yourself... Anyway, they would make themselves available for others to come and speak into their lives when they saw an area where they really needed to adjust or change or whatever.
But I just say they'll be willing to be accountable to the elders?
That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah. Isn't that Hebrews? You know, work out your mm-hmm. salvation with fear and trembling? Or no? I was thinking it's Hebrews. Maybe it's Philippians.
But anyway, that's the...
Uh-huh. I forget.
I totally agree with you, Shirley, but unfortunately, I think there are so many in the church that don't hear that warning and they don't hear that call.
Well, and many will be deceived because of it, too, which is the sad part. But, you know, Yahweh has a plan. His plan is that all come to repentance and none perish. So, but boy, we have to pray for the open eyes because... frankly, Christmas and Easter and Sunday are not in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. And that's where I think the Strong's 5674 go through, the part about proclaim, provoke to anger, and perish.
Yeah.
That's where I'm wondering if indeed there is some idiom or something there that we haven't been able to put our finger on entirely, because to go through and to cross over into Torah, as much as people living a... church life, you know, up until understanding Hebraic, as much as that was a change from their previous lifestyle, walking into Torah may be that much change yet again. And as we speak to them, what do we do? No matter how gentle we may be and no matter how truthful and respectful, do they not get provoked when we tell them there may be yet more to cross over to?
Oh, they do. People, you know, what's the old saying? People change, but not much.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, nobody likes to get out of their comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And to definitely walk in the ways of Yeshua is getting out of your comfort zone. And I don't think that this is going to be something many people beyond maybe the first fruits are going to do until they are provoked, and maybe the provoking will come with war or with famine or with lack or, you know, who knows what, because we know that people, once in a crisis situation, take action. Before then, we're lulled into this false sense of safety and security. Oh, I don't need that, or it won't happen to me, or when it does happen, I'll know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go back to the Feast of Shavuot, of Pentecost, and the priest was waving two fully leavened loaves of bread before Yahweh. These weren't unleavened, they were leavened, and leaven in Scripture represents sin, and these loaves weren't raw, they were baked. So if you look at those as us, who are fully leavened, and we're baked, and
yeah.
The baking kills the leaven and makes us acceptable to Yahweh. So here we have a world that is getting to the point of that loaf of bread is fully leavened, and it has to be put into the oven at that time or it will fall and the bread will be ruined. So going into the oven is that particular feast is one reason why I don't believe in the rapture, because Yahweh wants the sin baked out of his people. He's going to put us into the oven of affliction to get rid of the sin, to purify us so that we can be what he wants us to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, people right now think that, it's okay. You know, I'm doing enough. I go to my church a few hours a week, and you know, I put a little money in the offering plate.
And head up a committee or two.
Yeah, and I'm okay, but there's going to come a time when those that truly, you know, Yahweh is stirring in them and the crisis comes, they'll have to make some decisions. And unfortunately, they'll have to make it during a very rough time.
Yes.
And not all of them are going to live. The scripture, what you were just saying, one of those words were perish. So some of them are going to perish.
That's right.
And some of them are going to really be struggling, and that's why I'm so blessed for each person I see who is allowing Yahweh to change their heart, who are finding the ancient pathways, who are making decisions to walk the narrow path.
That's right. The time is not yet ended, but it's narrowing.
It's very narrow.
When I'm looking at the gates part of it, too, metaphorically, you know, the reason I commented on that it's not capitalized is because I think of Yeshua, Messiah, is the door through which everyone must enter.
Yes.
And I wondered if there was an alliteration, you know, or a subtle thing there. But I think that it's not there in the actual meaning, but it could be an implication. But it is frightening, and we spent some time talking about this in our study yesterday. What about people who have the intellectual understanding of their faith, and as you say, they participate in church. I used to like to say that they think God grades on a curve.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm doing more than my neighbor is, so surely I must be going to get an A kind of thing.
Right.
And it is, it's kind of frightening to think about that who are we that he was willing and able to penetrate the darkness and call us out and put us into the oven. And yet, as I would say, it's a willingness to let ourselves be put in the oven. And I think a number of us, several of us on the call even, have had financial and employment challenges, things that I interpret as, am I going to trust in horses and chariots and turn back to the Babylonian system, or am I going to look to what Yahweh is doing? And the more I look to what he's doing, the more fully I am going through the gates.
Well, when you were saying go through, you're right, that's repeated twice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like Yeshua saying, truly, truly.
Yeah, or Shema, Shema, as Lori pointed out.
there's an emphasis there, and he's saying, go through the gates.
Make the transition.
Yes, make the transition. Make the transition from, you know, where you're at in a sinful world. Another thought that came to me, we have the Feast of First Fruits, the unleavened bread, all the spring feast around Passover. And at that time, everything was unleavened. And for the bread to be acceptable for Passover, it has to, from the minute it's ground to when it comes out of the oven, take no more than 8 minutes to do the whole thing for it to be certified kosher for Passover. And there is a first fruit. Could it possibly be that this go through is implying, please go through so you can be part of that first fruit, so you don't have to spend so much time in the fire. Purify your life. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, like Scripture says. Become that bride without stain or wrinkle. Be ready. Be prepared. Have the oil in your lamp, so you don't have to go searching and miss the opportunity to go into the wedding. I think this is a clear call for us, saying, "Go through now."
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you twice, go through now so that you can be part of this greater exodus, part of this first fruits, part of the people who are prepared that won't have to perhaps suffer as long as a full loaf of bread that takes much more time in the oven than an unloafed and than an unleavened.
And I would agree. I think, too, there's the personal preparation notice there. Go through yourself. Make the transition. But then the prepare the way for or of the people, to me, implies also a couple of possible things. Either that we ourselves are the highway of the return of highway, because by keeping the Moedim, we are showing other people that it is even possible to do it. Rather than them having to launch out into nothing, they can now find people who have already begun the process of returning.
Exactly. And maybe that is what Revelation talks about, is the 144,000. Maybe those are 144,000 Moseses that are leading everyone else in this greater exodus.
Yes, I do think there are small pockets. Just, we represent several. Jan's an individual pocket, but we represent...
Yeah, not doing as well as you all are, for sure, but doing my best.
The other thing I think about is Under the Way, Strong's 1870, Jan, you said bent as in the bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And so preparing the way is bending Ephraim. Oh, isn't Ephraim the arrow and Yehuda is the bow?
I think the way
the scripture talks about it. But to prepare somebody and prepare the way is to also teach us and encourage others to allow themselves to be bent and molded and shaped so that they can be sent out.
One little thought right along that same thing. Everyone has a bent.
Yes.
Everyone is created with a specific bent. Okay, surely your husband are flowing in their bent and the purpose that Yahweh has for them. I'm trying my best to do mine. I think the other part of that is to try to help people get into the bend that they were created to follow.
Exactly.
Because that's their piece of the kingdom.
Very good.
That just came to me.
I'm with you. That's great. I had to get
one out.
Now, Shirley, you were going to say something?
No, I was just agreeing.
Okay, and was there somebody else that started to say as Jan did? Adrian, was that you? Lori?
Nope.
I was trying to say something about 10 minutes ago.
Okay, can you jump in now, or is it past?
I can't. It was when we started to, we were discussing tribes.
Yes.
Standards, and then we got off when we talked about the table at the conference.
Uh-huh. With the strange reading the palms, yes.
Yeah, but tribal identification and going through gates, my father did research into our Sephardim heritage, and he feels that we are from the tribe of Reuben. The more I've thought about that, and I would identify myself to that with people, I'm a Sephardic Jew from the tribe of Reuben, but, the more I've thought and thought about it and just pondered over it, there is no pure lineage to that point. There's been so much inner
marriage and tribes marrying other tribes. So no one has a pure path back to a tribe.
I agree.
And that is why you can try to identify yourself at this time, but I really think Messiah is going to be the identifier.
I agree.
Totally agree. Mm-hmm.
Yes. No, nobody, I don't think, would argue. But, you know, the question of there being so much intermarriage, I would it be possible because the Cohens, the DNA markers have been clear, and I believe, from what I understand, they've been preparing people whose lineage is clean to take over service in the temple.
Yes.
So I think there might be that lineage that's been able to be documented. You agree, Shirley?
I did read about that, and I thought, how in the world could they actually do that? How could they? Just think about the logistics of that, and from each marriage,
mm-hmm.
having purely, that is so difficult. There might, but you know what? There might still be a pure strain left.
I have
a lot of contamination in it, but
have to be of Yahweh. And, you know, I mean, for me, I understand in my spirit that I'm of the house of Joseph because that's what I was told. I wasn't even asking to be told that at the moment. It was just during a study. But can I go through and validate that in a physical sense or a biological sense? I haven't been able to. So I agree with you. Messiah will make the final determination. And we will know where we're to walk in. And Shirley had commented, too, there's only 12 gates. There's no gate that says Ger, Goy, or Gentile.
Right.
Right. So I just see myself heading toward the Reuben gate, and he's going, uh-uh.
Well, I kind of got in the spirit, this is Jan, that I was from the tribe of Asher. I have nothing to base that on other than something that I got, a word that I received from the Holy Spirit through worship and study. And I was just so adamant I was going to prove that lineage, you know. And I just came up against wall after wall after wall, and finally I went back, and it was like, stop.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go any further. It's not important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it says we're all adopted. We're all under the blood of Yeshua. So, I mean, I think there's been way too much focus on that stuff. I believe just who was just speaking? I'm sorry, I didn't.
That was Adrian, I think.
Adrian, I agree with you. I think Yeshua's going to be the identifier.
Definitely.
You know, and he's going to say, okay, this
road.
Is your gate. I will say this, and it's just food for thought. Okay, Asher was a tribe to the north. The north part of Israel is full of flowers and trees and all kinds of things. Those are the things that I just dearly, dearly, they just put me, I can't explain it, but I just feel really, I get my good alone times, you know, in that kind of environment. There are other people that find that the desert just really draws them. So, you know, I believe wherever we're supposed to be, he's going to put us there. He's
yeah,
put all
and
these
I
believe things in.
There is a time to focus on your tribal, you know, what tribe you're to be identified with. But I think that the time for that is when Yeshua is going to be directing us to our gates. Then that will be the time when, oh, now it's important. But up until that time when he's directing us to our gates, I'm with you. I don't think, and I think a lot of people can probably trace their heritage back to a certain tribe, but they don't necessarily feel any bonding with that.
Right.
They, you know, when they, I know people who know what tribe they're from, and they're not especially excited about being from that tribe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mean like if it's one of the less
Dan or something.
Yeah.
Well, Asher was not exactly considered one of the greatest ones, you know.
No, and neither was Reuben.
So it's like, but, you know, and too, I think if we focus too much on that, sometimes it's a distraction from where we need to be putting our focus on going through the gates and finding the ancient ways in our own lives.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're interested in an interesting teaching, Mike Clayton has one called The 12 Tribes of Jacob, and he goes through their personalities. And when you listen to that, it's very easy to pick out their personalities in your own life. And usually there's one dominant one or one or two dominant ones and some other ones, but it helps you understand in your interpersonal relationships with other people
Oh my goodness. Now I can see that, so I can work with it this way now. And in listening to the tapes, it's really alleviated a lot of frustration on my part with certain people. So that was just thrown in as a freebie.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Gwen Shaw had one too, and it was along that same vein.
And Mike took a lot of his study from her. But
Gwen
Shaw,
you said?
Yeah, yes. she has a whole book called The 12 Tribes, where she studied the different types of personalities. It might be good to get both of them and just balance them against one another.
Yeah. I think that's an excellent idea.
Barb?
Yes.
Adrian, I have to go. I have some students waiting.
I was just about to say we're out of time here, and
okay.
I wanted to just do a quick summary, but if you need to go, that's fine. We're so glad you're here and appreciate your part in it. What I wanted to do is just then wrap up where we are today, and I'm thinking it sounds like we could probably do another session talking about because we've talked about personal preparation more than about preparing the others and gathering out the stones and what that might mean. So the next date proposed is November 25th, which would be Thanksgiving weekend. Is that a problem for anyone?
I think it's okay with me.
It's okay with me.
Okay, and hopefully we'll pick up some of the other people who were not able to be with us today. So Abba Father, thank you so much for all these ladies who have spent time in your word and who have spent time listening in their spirits to your spirit and what you are teaching. Thank you so much for the understanding that we are to go through the gates, go through the gates, make the transition, declare this day whom you are going to serve. So we ask that this understanding would continue to grow in each one of our hearts and lives, and that we would know what it is we're to do in preparation for those around us. Yeshua, please continue to bless these ladies and strengthen us in every way necessary, because we know that the evil one will not like what we do. So preserve, protect, and defend us. In Messiah's name, amen.